Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Ammunition is to be made in peacetime, and the same thing is happening to those of you who have contracts with banks and mortgage companies on a mortgage. When everything is going fine and that money is going out, and you think because you have a good job you might be making 15, 20 bucks an hour and everything is fine, but what we have to understand is there is absolutely no security in a job. The only security that you have in a job is as long as you are able to perform. If you don't believe that, look at injured players of the NBA and the ABA and the NFL. What you have to do is engage yourself in the process of diversity. You have to diversify not only your income, but you have to diversify your situation. In a time of peace and the mortgage company is not foreclosing on you, maybe just sending you threatening letters, you're having some technical difficulties, now's the time to cancel the contract. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com.
Welcome, Morris and Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and this evening we're dealing with knowledge of self and higher consciousness. We're going to deal with what is meant by high vibration. How do we gain control of our high vibrations? What is the knowledge of self? What does it mean to be conscious? These are just a few of the questions that we're going to deal with, and the story will be brought to us this evening by Dr. Delbert Blair. Some of you may know him, very, very informative brother. And very educated, and he deals with some very, very powerful subjects. And we're going to deal with that this evening. Now, I'd like to make mention of the fact that we often have free articles, as usual, the 14th Amendment Exposed, Commerce Game, How to Play, Secrets of America and the Moors versus the U.S. Bankruptcy, and other articles that will be sent to you, including the truth about the 14th Amendment. This is very, very vital information for us to have in our possession so that we will know what's going on inside the United States of America Corporation and its commerce game and how to play that game. Now, for those of you who are on your social sites, if you send a friend request to Tahaka Amana L. Bay, I'll grant that. That'll give you access to my wall, and we post a lot of articles and stuff. We've just put a new ton of information into Tahaka Archives. And for those of you who have that, you can go over there and click on Oath of Office Validation. And we just put several articles and some videos in there for you. And also, keep in mind that in January, we'll host our third Morris Summit right here. And you all need to make your way down here to this thing because it's very, very enlightening. You are able to rub shoulders with people from all over the United States. And we look forward to seeing you here. Okay? So without further ado, because we got a lot of ground to cover here this evening, we're going to go directly into Dr. Blair. And keep in mind, after the first hour, we're going to open up the phone line. So if you got any questions or comment now, at that time will be the time to raise your hand. Okay?
Into the Alexandria Library. And it took them two generations to find somebody that was smart enough that they could teach to begin to at least understand the language of what was going on before, which talked about the same things now that I'm teaching again. I'm only reteaching. We go around in cycles. And so this time we're going to go around in spirals, and the spiral will be upward, because we're coming back around again to where we were when it went down below. Back again to Gabon. The sun, I'm saying this and I'm giving references, I'm trying to play a game with your minds, get both of your hemispheres to work in your way, history, memory, and future. The sun is not hot. The sun is not bright. The sun is something that gives people who have souls the life force to stay on a planet in this lower vibration. Because you are now sons of the sun. Solomon means soul man, means sun man, and the wisdom of sun man is to understand that all on this planet is vanity. What does Solomon say? And all the beautiful women, all the money, all this, he said, vanity, vanity, all I see is vanity. I search for more. Point is, again, we're now starting to search for more because we understand that the sun is now putting off the energy it used to before they tuned it down, and the planet says, I need more. So, the sun is sending in nothing but energy. The planet is taking that energy, making a magnetic field from it, sending it out, knocking out the electricity, which is what one of the things is killing you. One of the things that is making everything here so low. And one of the things that the Dracons hate to see, because they want electricity, very little pure sunlight, the lowest vibration, and they don't like magnetic energy. You know what I want to get rid of? Get around a magnet. Can't stand magnets. Cold magnetic energy is a force to them, it freezes them. Because they're cold-blooded, and heat is what they're trying to adjust to. Then when you stipulate the cold and then the magnetism grows, it kills them inside out. Can't stand magnet. That's one of your defensive weapons. What happens here again now is that the sun is simply a energy chakra. Now, you were into yoga. I talked to the brother downstairs, and I said, I'm going to go out to somebody you're going to really love again. How many understand chakras? Raise your hand if you understand when I say chakra. Chakra means wheels of light. It goes on this principle, that every organ that you have in your body has a gland that's with it, which secretes a hormone which goes into your physical body. But it means that beneath all of that are energy wheels, because you are not your body, you are in your body. When you're in your body will correspond to the thoughts that you generate while in that body. Because what you think, what you drink, and what you eat is what you are. Therefore, you recreate your body every 7 years. Every cell in your body is recreated. It either will go down, up, or in the middle. Now you must make it go up. You have no time to go back down at this time. Because you can regenerate it by what you eat, what you drink, and what you think. What you eat, drink, and think daily should be under your control, and you should make sure everything you think, eat, and drink is good for you.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. The movement.
The new Greeks, the new Dracons, don't want that to happen. They saw what happened before. What did happen before? We're back in history now. We tie in the present, we tie in the future, we tie in the past. Before the coming of this Grecian empire, there were people on this planet at a place called Lemuria. There were
Come
people on.
On
this planet at a place called Hyperborea.
Come on.
There were people on this planet at a place called, let's see, this is about four or five, Lucasa. There were people on this planet at a place called Mars, but Mars was called at that time Chiron. or Kahir, to know. They didn't want you to know that. They called it now Cairo. It was called Kahir, a Martian settlement. Understand me? When you begin to see now things come back around, it's reflection of what happened before. At that time, some of the Martians were here to fight some people from Orion, which is in the Pleiades. Some of the Martians needed help because they had been fighting them before. They needed help from people that were in what they call Sirius B and Sirius C. Past that, on the other hand, there had been battles going on. And if you remember the movie again, Star Wars, and that whole trilogy, it said they had been fighting this battle across galactic time, and they were coming to one planet finally to get the showdown. Guess what the name of that planet is now? Earth. On the fringes of the galaxies of the Milky Way, you just happen to be here at the right time or wrong time, depending on how strong you're going to be, because the battle is ending here.
Come on.
There are, in my father's house, many mansions, many galaxies, many nebulae, many constellations, many solar systems, many universes, one cosmos, and supposedly seven heavens, seven whole dimensions of consciousness by which these battles are always fought. The wonderful thing is now, if you can stay on this planet, as you're already finding out, you'll be able to escalate and go with the planet from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension, as you remember again, one of the best things ever known of is what? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. When Jupiter aligns with Mars, and peace will come on our planet, and love will rule the air. Now, they're telling you that one of the planets that was supposed to be peaceful didn't even exist. Used to be they taught me Pluto was there. Now they tell me Pluto's gone. So it's what gods they are. They can take a planet, or take away a planet. Or do they change your mind and change the nomenclature here, and then you take away the planet because they took your mind? Which is it? Be careful of people who give you no reason for what they say, but say dogmatically you ought to follow it. If you ever have to doubt what to believe what people say that is true, not what people who have been proven to be liars say, because the truth is in you, not in them. They use you to portray their truth because they don't know the truth. How the movie go? You can't handle the truth. But you've been handling truth here at least for 400 years. You were handling truth before that for 10,000 years. And your souls were handling these truths again at least 5 billion years and maybe even more than that. Because none of you are born on the planet Earth. You all came here. What did he just say? You are not born on the planet Earth. You have now re-originated on the planet Earth. You were born as galactic people. But each planet is a classroom. And some people need extra teachings. And some people can't learn with high teachings. They got to get down with it. Well, when you're on Earth, you are definitely down with it. You have here great teachers. You have here what is called the laggards. You have here what are called the crossmen. You have man, human, and mankind all coming together thinking that all are the one. They are not the ones. They are not the same. They are all different. The body types may look the like, with truncations, head, feet, but inside and up here, it's different. Let's go back again now. I keep jumping back and forth. I'm playing with you, but I'm doing this for a specific reason. Let's go back again now. The Greeks came in sacked Persepolis. They tore down the library, and the library they turned down had all this kind of information that I'm telling you, plus more. It told about the coming of the laggards and the invaders. It told them to be careful. Many of the people knowing this began to leave the planet, go inside the planet, and go to other planets where hopefully they could escape this draconic mass. If you remember also, it was the Dogons which kept this culture alive, the Tuaregs and the Silures. And their story said this. It said, we live near the Salton Sea, which is now called the Mediterranean, we migrated down to the Cape, and we came into this area of Mali and all because of a great Holocaust that happened at the northern part of what we now call Africa, which at that time was called Kemet. And a battle was fought there. The areas now that we see the Great Pyramid Complex used to have a stream that ran out to the Nile, the Blue Nile, and all of that area was jungle, verdant, foliage everywhere. Now what do you have?
Desert.
Check your deserts, and two things they will tell you are lies, and one of them they tell you is true. First of all, they'll tell you that any time you see beaches and sandy, this was once an ocean body. That's one big lie. It may have been an ocean bottom, or it may have been fertile black soil that has been so radiated that it now is nothing but sand and nothing will grow on it. So be it as to what happened there. And unfortunately, black people did that. Unfortunately, there was a battle between the giant blacks and the little blacks. And some of the radiation things that happened there are still the fault, and this is why the penalty is being paid on the same land where the horrible thing was done. Let me explain this. They're looking at the pyramid complex, and they're saying, first of all, it's a burial plane for Mankuri, or I don't even want to go into that. You heard all that foolishness. I'm sorry, you heard all that kind of history before. I don't believe it, so I'm not going to repeat that. There are three pyramids there. Each one fed the larger pyramid, and they were never used as burial ground. You already know that in Luxor, the Valley of the Kings, that's where the burials were.
Mm-hmm.
When a person was able to be buried in a great tomb, they were really being born again, because that great tomb was not a tomb at all. It's an orgone energy generator.
Initiation.
One of the largest and most complex built, and every planet under the sun that is metaphysical or magnetic will have a pyramid complex. That's how you can tell if the ancients were there before and whether they're part of what is called the Elysium. When they talk about the King's Chamber and the Queen's Chamber and the Grand Gallery, you're talking about a structure that can generate orgone energy. They don't like when you say orgone energy because they like to talk about electricity and sometimes magnetism, but there is a third force. What is it? Orgone. That is the ray of light that most of you came in on. That's the ray of light that you need. That's why you now need to have, here we go, organic foods, because you are organic people. You need to have original foods because you are original people. You have to have orgasms because that generates orgone energy, and the birth comes through on that kind of an energy field. Like the crystals are now coming in called our children. When you begin to get that kind of a generator, you now can align with other planets and other systems that have that, and you form a link. And through that link, you can travel on the biggest and best spaceship ever invented. It's not down to Alamogordo. It's not down to Cape Canaveral. It's not down in Cape Kennedy. It's in your bedroom with you. You carry it around with you. You just don't know how to get on board because you don't know how to start up the motors. It is called the Makapa. And there were whole books that taught you how to use that vehicle of travel the same way the women came here. And then later on, the men came to another area. They taught that all along, too. I have a woman lecture which goes into that. And it shows again that when they had this great battle, they tore loose the very being, the very platform, the very airport by which they had come, and now they were stuck here. Stuck in the same mess that they had created. The Sahara is a desert because they had giant beams using crystals that rayed back, and they used a black crystal, which is the worst kind you could use. It destroyed things, took the life out of the other crystals, the life out of the pineal crystal, and left you dumb. How many heard that? Think about it. You have the biggest and best crystal, which is represented by the Eye of Horus at the top of the main pyramid, in your skull now. It's called a pineal gland. The pineal gland is supposed to send out energy throughout your body, regulate the pituitary gland, and they teach you in anatomy and physiology just as effort. They say that the master gland is what? Pituitary gland. The master gland is the pineal gland. Because the pineal gland, when it goes bad, the pituitary gland goes crazy, and you might get gigantism, you might get dwarfism, you might get cancer, you might get anything, because it's under control of the pineal gland. Why? Because the pineal gland is the seat of your soul on the upper level. The orchid gland is the seat of your soul on the lower level. What am I saying here? You have two suns. You have a sun in your head, you have a sun in your lower plexus. The orchid, most people don't even talk about it. And when you talk about the pineal gland, they don't give it the credit they should. They say in the physiognomy textbooks, it's a vestigial gland of unknown origin that's now atrophied and of very little usage.
Hmm.
A vestigial gland of unknown origin, now atrophied and of very little usage. Well, that means your soul ain't worth you know what. Because that's where your soul gets its vibrations from. Just to digress on that, we'll go back to the main thing again. Have you ever heard the term, the worm turns? How many have heard it before, the worm turns? People say it means that when you get a rat in the corner, a worm in the corner, it's going to turn on you and that's it. That's not what they meant at all. In what is called the Turkish Tadisika, the hypothalamus is a bone structure in the middle of your head in which you have your pituitary gland hanging here, sitting like in a Turkish saddle, and beneath it on the ligament is your pineal gland. It spins around like a pine cone. It's called pineal gland. Constantly, when a soul comes into a body and it seats itself, the brain sutures. There's a big suture on that cranial area, which they call the skull. The ancient ones, and the last thing that the Greeks remembered, because they remember when they talked about their logons and theologies, the ancient ones used to say, when a child is born, don't ever, during its developing step over. Why did they say that? Because when the soul comes into a body and seats itself well in, the skull closes, it sutures. Now you're locked in for a lifetime, whatever that lifetime will be. Before that time, when it's open, souls can come and go, the soul is still making up its mind, and it can be free to go and come. But once it sutures, that's it. And if you notice in all anatomies, back on white, skulls or what, whether the pigmentation is there or not, you see that little suture. That's because it is closed. They've had all kinds of ways to explain that. But once it's locked in, you're now seated. When you leave in death, or you leave in afterflight, there's a little opening that you can begin to create again, and your soul can come and go. That's what's called a passage. Why did I throw all that out? Because it means that since you are not the body, every so often you have to leave. When you have to leave, you call it sleep. And you have to go to sleep probably every 3.5 days, or you will sleep standing up, you'll sleep driving a car. You don't know what you're going to be because you are not the body. You have to come out of the body. In the Great Pyramid, people came out of their bodies that were selected at will. Not in sleep, but in total awareness and awakeness. The King's Sepulcher was when elite people who were able to go and raise a Merkaba would lay in the sepulcher, guard their body, and they would go on flights to the end of the cosmos, to wherever they wanted to, while still having the physical body here, and that was called raising the great ship Merkaba. That's where we get our word van. Merkaba, the vehicle of light for the Ka and the Ba, the spirit and the soul. And that way, that person could go out, tell you what was happening before, come back, give you instructions, see if you're still in unison, if you've learned anything in your school here on Earth, and were you ready to go back and forth. When a whole planet, people, could go back and forth, then the whole planet can move.
Mm.
What did he say again? The man talks so much crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A whole planet can move when its unisons are together, then the planet moves. Other than that, you move from the planet, come back to the planet, bringing forth enlightenment, or going in the straight, whatever you want to do. That is what you call channeling, that's what you call cosmic light, and that's what you call now coming into one minded thought. Because then you control the planet The planet will honor you, and many things happen. It's beginning to happen a little bit again. Let's go back now, jump back and forth with you again, to what we were talking about when I said again that this energy was coming up and nodding off satellites. So much evil has gotten this planet to now the very people who should be in control are no longer in control. And because of this, the planet is upset. They teach you that anytime wars break out, it's because, again, the sunspot activity is up. And when the sunspot activity is up, people get restless, wars break out, everything happens. It's just reverse. When people on a planet kill a lot, have no spirituality, you make the planet get upset. The planet asks for help. Help is given through the sun, which sends out polar prominences, or what they call energies, per se. The planet absorbs that, takes it into its soul, and then re-radiates it with the energy it wants, which now is magnetic, because all around our Earth now are towers of power, electricity things. This whole planet now is on a very low circuitry of electricity. The planet says enough. So now the planet is beginning to attack all these towers. You got three major ones in your city, and I don't know how many minor ones as I see it. It's beginning to knock out these towers. It's beginning to knock these satellites that work on electricity. Everything that works on electricity holds you down. The planet is trying to free you up because it wants to free up itself. Right now, until you can get on a magnetic keel, you're holding back the progression of a planet. And the only reason the planet has not destroyed all of these towers and all the people on that vibration is because many of you who are good souls, who have souls, are not ready. And when it kills your enemy or dislodges its enemy, it's going to kill you too. So it's saying, wake up. What I'm saying is not only Galactic Showdown, but a subtitle is, and many of you got that on the email, wake up, sheeple, before it's too late. Wake up, sheeple, before it's too late. There's still time. Sheeple is a cross between a person and sheep. Lead a sheep to slaughter, they'll follow. Tell a sheep anything, it will follow. It follows a Judas song, and we still are sheeple, because until you can understand that you are not a sheep and not asleep, you worry. Huh? Until you understand you are people and not animals, you will act like animals and be led to slaughter. But when you awaken, you will find that your bodies, with you in it, operate differently because you have a pineal gland and a locked-in soul. To exude soul power, you have to use concentrated thought, you have to raise your vibrational rate, you have to stop eating all of the animals and all the now-terminated seeds, or to the best of your kind, try to do what you can to eliminate the bad results of eating them, if that's all the food you can get. That can be done too. If the sun is hot, why is it that where it is now, as I understand, where I come from in Chicago, 33 degrees below zero? That I understand also, over in Europe again, there has been a drought and heat wave. That there's drought and heat waves now in the fur, that there's drought and heat waves throughout the area and stuff. If the sun is so hot, and yet it is wintertime, when it's closest to you, how can that be? In winter, according to those scientists, they teach you that it is at what they call perihelion. The furthest point close to the sun is where we are now, and what do we have? Winter. Well, if the sun is hot, how can you have winter when you're close to the sun? When we get summer, according to their technology, we're at a point aphelion. Aphelion means the furthest point away from the sun. So why is it when it's further from away from the sun, it's hot, and when it's furthest point to the sun, it's cold? Well, they go on to jargon about the axial tilt and the inclination point and all this stuff. No, because they're also saying hydrogen to helium is how the heat generates its energy. Well, hydrogen helium means an element. If it's an element, then they also say again that these elements can push down 3,000, 4,000, whatever again, 103,000, in a second of time, this energy just swooshes out. Well, then they also tell you that the speed of light is 186,000 mph, miles a second, though, not hour, miles a second. That means, then, that an element, which is a gas, can travel faster than light, because they're saying in 300,000 miles a second or so, this thing can whoosh out. Something's wrong with the physics here. You can't have one and the other. You cannot have an element traveling faster than light if light is the fastest thing that they can record here.
Mm.
Something is wrong. Think about this one. The astronauts from supposedly these states or America, whatever you call it, space, and the cosmonauts, supposedly from Russia, and later on they called cosmonauts coming from Europe too, went out into space and they talked about the darkness of outer space. They had a whole series, Lost in Space, because when they got out there where the sun was so bright, they couldn't find it. They saw Epsilon Bootie, they saw all of these different stars much brighter than our own sun, because when they got out there, they couldn't find it. And they talked about the coldness of outer space. If you're out there with the sun, how can it be cold? Something doesn't jive again. Somebody's physics, somebody's science is off. Or somebody is teaching you miseducation. Something is wrong. Now let's go back to what the ancients said. They said that there are people who live on the sun, called sun gods, and they worship him, and sometimes they would come off the sun. They stated that when you broke the cycle of incarnation on planets, you become incarnate on suns, forgetting again that you never have to have planets again, because a planet is a plan for souls that need to be taught. Suns are showing that you graduate and become sons of the sun and go on to create other things. When you fail on a sun, you come to a planet. When you graduate on a planet, you go to a sun. They cannot make sunshine, and that's why the Chinese and Japanese have fought each other forever, because they said their squint eyes and stuff was because they were close to the sun, fell off of the sun, and my son's better than your son, and also your daughter's. You follow that one? I'm stretching you. I will play with you, but you're going to have to come up. If you notice, on the Japanese flag, it has seven rays. The seventh sun, okay? And they even tell about that. This is what their whole thing. And they said that Buddha had led them here on their pilgrimage when they came from a falling sun to a new sun. And that's why when they see the Chinese, they say, well, they just went on moons around there. You have not that right. They've been killing each other forever. They're not killing each other now. They're working together now. The reason, they know now it's time for the foolishness to be put aside. They also worship Buddha. Now, we understand that crazy people worship Buddha. The only God in creation that should be worshipped is through the Lord Jesus Christ that died for your sin here. Now, I hope I'm not going to make you all get angry. I'm going to make you think like you're thinking now. Don't stop thinking now because I start talking about your religion. Think even through religion. Understand this. Buddha met the black.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Huh? Let's see. Buddha means the black. In fact, it means hail the black. Now, you wouldn't ever hail a black, so you wouldn't study Buddha, and you wouldn't believe in Buddha ever, because he looks like you. You don't want anybody looking like you to worship you. Huh? I mean, to hold homage to. Buddha means the black. Then you have these other people. They're from India and so, and they have Krishna and Krishna. Now, you know you can't understand that, because Hare Krishna means Hail Krishna. And Krishna means the black one. Wow. Those crazy Indians who were over here in America before they were discovered by Christopher believed in Krishna. And you know you can't believe anything like that because it looks like you. And you can't believe anything like you, can you? Can you? I can't hear you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you would never think about studying Krishna, would you? Well, that's where those crazy laggard Indians who aren't until Columbus discovered them here when he didn't get here. Huh?
That's right.
Whatever thing you call a germ has a wavelength. And if it is detrimental to you, that can cause disease. Then consequently, that wavelength is now registered. They have
have made a science of getting close to emulating, imitating, acting like that GZ's germ and then sending it through the air even though the germ is not there. So the body where we act as though the germ were there. That is psychotronic warfare, and that's kindergarten. Why do I say that's kindergarten? Because that means now that every pathogen that they can now record can be duplicated, and if it's duplicated, it can be sent to you even though you are germ and bacteria free. Maybe I didn't say that right. If you're free and you got no bacteria and you wash it, your arms, you wash it, your hands, and you do everything good, and you breathe wonderful air and so on and so forth again, you can then in your seat have a broadcast tower about that, send you a germ in there, and it's no germ present. Now that's evil. You was right back where it's dead. To live, you're going to have to understand evil and change it. You can't fight something or be detrimental to something or be good for something that's bad to you until you understand what the bad is. How do you defend yourself against something you didn't know was attacking you? And that's why now to be ignorant is to be blissfully dead. Assuming on your way to die. Ignorance, no, it's nothing blissful about ignorance now. Ignorance now will get you killed. And everybody around you killed. Because three people wake up, four of the family, one doesn't, the whole family is under scrutiny because now that person is now messing up the family by doing things they know they should not do. It is a time for astuteness, for waking up, for being intelligent, for getting wisdom, not even knowledge. Knowledge that I had, I'm trying to get wisdom every day because these are wisdom haters and the things they're doing are evil. I can't believe some of the stuff that I research and find. And the Creator has led me to do so. I'm sharing with you. You make whatever decision you want to make from that again. Think of this now. Even if you don't do this, you might know some young people, some people old as I am, or some others that might listen to radio, that might turn on TV, and might listen to music. Old school, new school, rap, hip-hop, whatever it is. It has a beat and a cadence, and you can pick it up on radio, radio waves, TV waves, whatever you want. You can begin to pick up these sounds, and you dive to it. It's good to it. Many of the cuts that you're listening to, and I know most of you know this, but I'm just trying to cover my bases, that you listen to have under-trackings. Now, see how real astute you are. How many understand when I say under-tracking, what that means? I thought a lot of you, I figured, I'm very happy you're here. You won't be glad I was here, don't you? She said, you give me a plug. All right, well, that's because I do my research. Sometimes research can be frightening, but I'm saying to you, I have solutions for some of these. Some of these I don't, but at least you know if it's a problem. You won't understand, you won't be misused when you see this problem manifest. You say, how is this happening to me again? You think you're listening to one thing. And then under a track so deep, especially if you have melanin, because they know it's a very sensitive to vibrations of all kinds, they'll put in a counter melody or something that you don't want to hear. And while you're tuned to that that you think you are hearing, because it's on a frequency with this, what they call the subatomic brain, or what they want to call again the inner brain, the mind brain, it's appealing to it. Now that's really trickery in the hardest fashion you can. And the more relaxed you get with the one, the more you can now pick up the other one, which is now suddenly being broadcast. People want to understand why is it that these cathedral churches are doing so much now. It used to be we had multiple religions, and every storefront and every corner had a person making money, and they couldn't make it another way. They all were going to bring you to your favorite avatar. That's good. You want to worship an avatar, you should go to wherever you want to, too. But now, the Manapa churches are closing up, the storefront churches are closing up, and they now have what they call cathedral churches. And that's another name. Somebody help me with some of the names. That's a big church. And the church. What else they call them? Huh? Well, those big people, now the church is in the business, whatever, spiritual needs and getting fulfilled, right? But people ask, how can all of these selected ones give so much that they're coming together, like with the New World Order? Everybody comes together. We come together in one huge megalithic church.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know they can guarantee a minister $1 million every month if
but this is present history that will be Black history in the future. When you understand later on when that satellite went down, they won't tell you it's because of energy coming out of Africa that is coming up now into space and beginning to disturb everything that's running on electricity. Another statement I want to make, electricity is slowed down magnetism. Above electricity and magnetism is what is called orgon energy. Now, those are bad words. You don't want to say orgon out here to this government and research scientists, because orgon means original. It's organic. It's orgasm. It's organic. It's organic people. And, of course, they refer to those kind of people as original people. And what the last thing they want you to understand is who the original people are and why the original people are and where the original people are and when the original people came. None of that will they teach you. But you do hear a word that's used a lot. It's called aboriginal. Never use that word aboriginal if you are indigenous to the planet. Why? Because it means to abhor the original person. Aboriginal means to abhor the original. To abhor means to hate, to envy, to covet, to dislike. Consequently, the word aboriginal means that you have a dislike for the original person. And the original person, of course, is a person with melanin. It's been proven so many times now that if necessary, I won't spend the time with an audience like you to go into that, but nevertheless. What is also very interesting is those who would say that the black man has contributed very little to the planet may be right, because there'd be no planet without the black man. So you don't go contribute to something that you had an original part of. And he owned at one time on our planet, and we can say almost no more than about 50,000 years ago, you couldn't stay on the surface of this planet if you were not black. Because if you were not and you were exposed to the radiation fields that were here, you would die. It's just that simple. And whole races of people have died off anytime there's what they call a sun reversal. This is why it's been called sons of the sun. People who can live under direct sunlight, which that's off 12 rays from infrared to ultraviolet, and if you can take those rays and not have your inner organs interfered with, not have your brain cells interfered with, not have your reproduction cells interfered with, your immune system interfered with, and more than that, not being able to work through what they call the hypothalamus, a part of the brain that has two organs up there, two glands really, the pineal and the pituitary. We're taught in school, at least I was, maybe you had a fortune that you didn't get miseducated as they made me, where I had to turn around and relearn everything that they taught me the wrong way in order to go the right way. The pituitary gland, they say, is your master gland. It controls all the functions in your body. I say nothing could be further from the truth. Your minor gland would be your pituitary gland. Your basic gland is your pineal gland. Some people call it pineal. I understand it's pine cone shape called pineal gland. The pineal gland is a gland that produces melanin. And wherever you have melanin in your body, you're going to function differently than a person with little or none. And the grade of your melanin will help you to do things that other people can't. And when you're beginning to function with your melanin, then you can begin to adapt to magnetic fields. Here it's broken down. I'm giving to you a different way now. Magnetic fields, electrical fields, and orgon fields. Without that, you cannot adapt to all three. You may adapt to one, the lowest of all, electrical fields. Our problem here nowadays is elves. And I'm not talking about the one in the hollow earth. I'm not talking about the one in the fairy tales. Because elves, not elves, are killing you.
ELFS is extra low frequency, which is electrical propagations, electrical energy. That is what short circuits you. That's what's causing you to AIDS. That's what's causing your cells to AIDS. That is our biggest problem here. And they're building up more and more towers everywhere. And the more towers go up, the more it's going to short circuit anybody with an active pineal gland. And it's only going to be melaninated people that can get through this. And even they now are being attacked with the shots and AIDS and all these other things, which we will also get into too. Setting the stage for some obviously broad coverage that we're going to do. There was an anatomy book and a physiology book, both that stated something along this line, to paraphrase it, that the pineal gland is an atrophied gland of very little usage and really not even necessary to discuss. That meant that the biggest, strongest, most powerful gland in an operating body that we're now in is of very little usage and possibly. In many cases it is, because it calcifies. And it calcifies any time you expose it to drugs. I didn't say to herbals. Anytime you expose it to allopathic pharmaceutical drugs, you're killing and causing a war with your pineal gland. When you use homeopathic and nutraceutical products, herbs, leaves, roots, things that are natural, things that contain sunlight, now it begins to amplify and work correctly. It is the gland that lets you tan, the gland that lets you blacken, the gland that gives you your psychic ability, the gland that produces serotonin by which you can get calm under situations, can sleep at night without taking other drugs. It is a master gland that when something goes wrong in your body, it chemically organizes it, analyzes it, and then sends a direction to the pituitary gland to start mass producing all these various hormones from the various things that we do. It does not like synthetic. I will repeat that once more. It does not like synthetic anything. Synthetic things are made in a laboratory to act like what would be a natural thing. If you are a natural person, you cannot use synthetic things without an aberration, a problem, something else happening within that system. And many things are happening within our systems now that are wrong, very bad. We have genetically modified foods everywhere. We have water that is full of fluorine, chlorine, and 38 different kind of things in most of the places. And in fact, if you're coming, unfortunately, again, from the Ohio area, it has more than the rest of it. And even in Chicago, where I come from, it supposedly has one of the best filtration plants around, they're still putting 38 different chemicals in to try to kill off bacteria. You have depleted uranium being given to soldiers, sailors, Marines, armed forces personnel, over there fighting in the Iraq Middle East, which, by the way, is innocuous because the Middle East is where ancient Mesopotamia 1 was, where Sumer was, and here you have the brethren who are supposed to be coming over there to start unlocking time locks to come over there to get in tune with the planet, over there killing each other, blowing each other up, being bitten by crabs and the desert crabs and stuff, being given 34 shots before they can return, taking them out of the picture forever, messing with their reproductive organs, their brains, over there fighting a war that is not even existing because of a population who's trying to eliminate them and they don't get the picture.
What is very interesting is that not all women on this planet menstruate. Also, not all women on this planet have ever menstruated. But all women think that all women do. Let me also spend a little time with that concept. Most Hindu women do not, and definitely did not, menstruate. One of the last famous Hindu women to achieve prominence on a world stature was Indira Gandhi, who until she started doing certain things and making certain practices as she toured the world, readily admitted she had not suffered a menstrual period until she began to do these things. Had she but followed her religious undertakings, maybe it never would have started. Most ancient African or Kemetic women did not menstruate. Not Belkis, not Hypatia, not any of the so-called queens of Africa seemingly did once they began to have knowledge of self. The Oracle of the Delphi, according to the Greeks, were a group of women who pontificated and led Greece through its heyday. It was not led by the warrior men. They did the fighting. The thinking was done by the oracles, and many of the oracles were females. They are said that the oracles did not menstruate. If the blood loss and even the alkaline nitrate loss was ceased and stopped, then not only would women be very strong, and they wouldn't be intuitive, they would be psychic, but they also could give birth to babies without a man being anywhere around. And there is the key to your problem and your problematic solution. You've bought into the coat's lie, the white coat's lie, the medical doctor's lie, which came about under a patriarchal system. If you start understanding the cadavers that were messed with in England and France at the turn of the 17th, 18th century, and experimentation still goes on. In fact, they, by law, are given under the caduceus the right to practice. And the practice is upon, in many cases, you as females. There was a theory called the Ovist theory, spelled O-V-I-S-T, pronounced Ah. It was proven, not postulated, I repeat, proven by Dr. Professor Jacques Loeb of Stanford University that the embryo develops from the egg alone and does not require spermatozoan. Did you hear what I just stated? According to Professor Loeb, you can make a developing embryo to become mitigated and go into first, second, and third trimesters of birth without the need of the male sperm under certain circumstances. The prevailing medical theory is one of epigenesis, and it says again that you must have the union of sperm and egg in order to produce and in order to get pregnant. Maybe. To start this and give it practicality, we have to go back to a basic concept that some people still are not sure about. I state that women had to have been created before men or formed before man, because you cannot get a man from a man, you cannot get a woman from a man, but you can get a man from a woman, and you can get a woman from a woman, and think about that. Any problem with that statement, that compound complex sentence? I don't have one. This is what the old church, the Church of England, and under King Constantine and the Bishop Eusebius, the Church of Rome had to get rid of and had to change. The last honesty amongst Caucasian principalities dealing with Christianity and especially Catholicism came with the onset of the Greeks, who broke away into the Greek Orthodox Church because they got tired of the lies that were being formed and wanted to continue with some semblance of truth from the Greek society. The last time when the Caucasians told truth. The male cannot reproduce himself, the female can. What does that mean if carried to the furthest extent? It means that if the woman also could decide whether she was going to produce a male or a female, the race of man could cease to exist, as we now understand it, as a double gender. That, at one time on Earth, was a tremendous problem. The universal cosmic egg theorem is that a cosmic egg was created, and from that generated everything, and that in the egg still is the semblance of first creation. Things start from an egg, whether it be a hard shell finish or a little ovum attached to the uterine wall. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? In 1975, they connected a vibrational detecting device to an unfertilized egg, and they got a rhythmic pulsing beat just like that of a human heart or pulse. The silk moth. The silk moth reproduces and never mates. Reproduces without a mate. The lowly aphid reproduces without a mate. And as the ancient Egyptians tried to point out, the scarabus beetle reproduces without a mate and can shed its skin and goes along every 7 years quite well. It dies when it does mate. And if you remember on the Ankh and the scarabus, you found in your Valley of the Kings and you found again amongst the pyramid and on the Sphinx itself, that sacred symbol of the scarabus. They were trying to convey something. Most of us have forgotten or never knew what they were trying to convey. Dr. Edward Bischoff, MD, started this modern theory of epigenesis in 1854. I want you to jot on that date because people think this has been going along for a long time. It has not. That's close to the turn of the century. Dr. Edward Bischoff started the theory and the story of epigenesis in 1854. That is, that the zygote and the uterine developed by union of sperm and egg was the way that humans get started. The first trimester after fetal conception. Before Bischoff's theory became accepted, and understand, it was presented on a paper as a theory, not an accepted fact. Later on, males and those who study under males have made it a fact that this is the way pregnancy starts. For centuries, people before that had believed in the theory of parthenogenesis. I repeat, parthenogenesis, and it even created under Grecian society, which had adopted and stole from the ancient Nubian society, the Parthenon. The idea for the Parthenon was not Greek. The idea that a temple toward bringing in gods was already being utilized on Earth, and parthenogenesis, or virgin birth, was acceptable and was the your immaculate, wonderful way. All of your ancient gods, so-called, or avatars or presenters were said to have been of what? Virgin birth. Now we laugh at that. We lose so much in the vaginal uterine tract conceptory and bringing to term trimesters that there must be a better way. We have just forgotten that there was another way. In the year 1955, four prominent British doctors of medicine, and I like to use this amongst college students because when you say British doctors of medicine, then it makes it okay. Dr. Stanley Balfour Lynn, Dr. Bernard Camber, Dr. David Wine Williams, and Dr. A.E. Morant all studied some 10 classical cases of virgin births and agreed that all 10 of them were real, that in some way parthenogenesis, bringing to birth without the human sperm and egg, had occurred in all 10 of those cases, barring nothing.
Okay, well, what's the solution to the mortgage fraud? It's very, very simple. There's documentation whereby you can cancel a mortgage and property taxes at the same time. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. If you are not in foreclosure, however, you have been served with some notices about your mortgage, being late, if you just don't have the money, cancel the contract. It's real, real simple. Along with your Get Rid of the Mortgage package, we'll also give you Tahaka's Archives. That way you cannot go wrong. Feel free to contact me, Tahaka Montreal Bay, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, Morris.
Okay, Morris, we come to the end of the first hour. If you have questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand. We're going to be going into the second segment of this type of information. And I need you all to hold your hats. And we will take a quick break, and we will be right back. Y'all hold on a second.
Back and try again.
We're going to get very deep tonight. We're going to get into subject matter that may be somewhat trepidous to some. And you're going to hear some comments that are going to be way out. You're going to hear some suggestions that may be way out. Having talked with some of you individually, what I used to consider way out now is commonplace, because many of you are already dealing with the thoughts of aliens and interfacings here and all kind of genetic splicings. So although at one time this lecture was phenomenal, I think now it's just run-of-the-mill. It's just something else that would be good to have in your arsenal to oppose or to understand that either threatens you or that intends to work with you. I make no bones about the contents. I simply say it's as I research it, and I give it to you in the same way. We're going to start off with the woman lecture, and that's because women run everything anyway, right? Yeah, yeah. How many say women run everything? Don't you even do it. I didn't want to see those hands. You started to raise the hands up, too. I saw you. Let's just say that probably some of the most interesting products and subjects on this planet are women. Isn't that a terrible way to address the female gender? But you are, if you're a female, simply because females, I think, are the worst critics of other females on Earth. They would tear a man apart, but then they'll give some reason for why that woman made him like that, or the lack of a woman made him like that. But when it comes to interaction with each other, it can get to be terrible. Hopefully some of that is changing, but as you will see tonight, there are some times when you do, if you're female, ally with each other. You do come together as one in the face of some things that men might say or do, O.J. Simpson excluded. What I'm going to say is simply this. The time we're living in is a time when knowledge and hopefully wisdom will be manifest. Without true understanding, it's impossible to manifest complete wisdom, because it'll be somewhere there a lack of knowledge. I let the chips fall where they may. I did some research, and in the dictionary it stated that woman was an adult female human being. I don't think we've got any problem with that at all. Is anyone a problem with that definition? All right, we're together at least at the start. It says that womanhood was a time or condition of being a woman. It makes sense to me. I don't think it's a big deal there either. We may have an interesting interface with this one, because it said that girl was a female child or a young unmarried woman, or at one time that the word girl meant young boy. That one kind of grabbed me. I had to do some other references. You know, when you get to your third IBID definition for whatever the original was, I said, that's interesting. It's going to become even more interesting as we move on. I look biblically because I find many people feel that they understand the Bible and feel that whatever is in the Bible is adequate and true. And so consequently, it's stated there that the rib from Adam was created to give man a helpmeet, which was referred to as woman. Created from Adam's rib to be a helpmeet to man. I didn't know if that meant helpmeet to bills, or if it meant helpmeet somebody at the train station or what, but it did say helpmeet. I'm sure you have a better interpretation of that than I, but in my ignorance, I questioned what that was. With all of that around, I then began to look even deeper into the phenomenal set of cells and set of personality and spirit that is a female. And I found this, which I know all of you will agree to, that woman is indeed, bless her heart, the weaker sex. That woman is in general, again, a prime example of what womb man can be. And that, of course, men are obviously much smarter than women, but because of the brain structure, but we still try to be compatible. Do you have any problems with any of those last three statements? A lot of problems. Why did I think that some women may have that problem? Are there any men with any problems with what I just said? One man. Well, you don't count. You're just one man with a problem, okay? All the rest of the men did not raise their hands, all right? I used to say that because he wants you to buy his tapes. That's all. I know what it is. Well, I think I can give you proof, even though I said that, it may be an exaggeration, but if you can back up an exaggeration, it may become a truth. So let's see if I can back that up. I want you to listen carefully now before you pass judgment, because I'm now going to show you why I said that. I think you may even agree with me at the end. Maybe not. Throughout the world, there are more widows than widowers. There are more women 100 and over than there are men 100 and over. The female body, on a worldwide racial consideration, retains the characteristics of youth longer than males do. Less, or at least fewer women, have hardening of the arteries. Most women, again, have a tendency to adjust blood pressure a little bit quicker than men and faster, if you would. And that the incidence of ulcers is much lighter in women than in men. Let me say, however, that's changing as women are beginning to develop ulcers, and I can't understand why, on a per capita ratio by state in the United States, up to 60% as fast as men. There's more heart failure and apoplexy in men than there is in women. And when it comes to retaining breath and using oxygen, women are much less easy to suffocate and can retain that ability longer than men. Women can endure cold weather on a general basis better than men. And in higher altitudes where there's 18% less oxygen, and of course they don't know about our oxygen products, women survive much better. Women who live in the Andes Mountains, and of course all women must live in the Andes Mountains, can carry heavier loads than men because the oxygenating capacity being stronger, the muscle texture and tenure is better. Just as I'm going about halfway through this, I guess you can begin to see how I'm supportive of my original premise and statement. You do see how I'm backing this up, right? How many of you agree that I'm backing it up? No. Well, I think I'm doing a good job of backing this up. Let me go on. Maybe I haven't said enough. Let's just go on with this a bit. The female brain not only has a finer texture and has a more complex organization than that of the man, but relative to overall body weight, it is one quarter heavier. Particularly like that. But there are fewer females, well, that's not true, baby miscarriages than there are boy or male baby miscarriages. Let me repeat that, because that's a statistic that I don't have all the percentiles on, but it is a fact. Fewer women coming to term have a loss of a child, again, through whatever the miscarriage reason again, that is a child, girl child, than that is a boy child. They carry more girls to term successfully than boy babies to term. During childhood, the female is mentally superior to males. The female also has a larger thyroid gland, which has three lobes to the male's two-lobe gland. You must remember that because it's going to have a very important bearing when we really get heavy here. Now, and also, as I promised you, there would be three glands, secret glands of females. That is one. One that has been misquoted or not properly given its place is the three-lobed female thyroid gland versus the two-lobed male thyroid gland. The girl of seven, because of high, rich thyroid hormones, again, thyroxine, has a brain capacity that a boy does not get until he's nearly 14. That is double the age. A brain capacity that a boy child does not get until past puberty at 14. Strong mental and physical women conceive girl babies almost all of the time. And in fact, I would say almost, as we will see, that 99% of all original zygotes are female when formed. Now, with all of that, and of course, I have proven without a shadow of a doubt, all of the things that I stated and stressed
at the beginning, right? Right. And as a man, it makes me feel much better to say that I have backed that up, even if I haven't. The whole point is that the ladies, the women, seem to have a lot on the male body and the male brain up until a certain thing begins to happen. Then most of the things that I have talked about begin to reverse, and the problem starts with the word men. The word is menstruation. Menstruation. I didn't say menstruation, I said menstruation, or the menses. I will refer to it from this point on as the menses. Menstruating women lose calcium, thyroxine, iodine, phosphorus, lecithin, vitamin E, vitamin B1, 6, 12, 15, B2, magnesium, manganese, iron, copper, zinc. And some of this loss starts 2 weeks before the menses actually starts in what is called leukorrhea. Now, just to say that may not make a lot of impact. It should. In case it doesn't, let me just explain a couple of those things that I mentioned. Calcium, for instance, not only in teeth and so, but stabilizes the nervous system throughout the body. Without calcium, the nervous system cannot function correctly. Phosphorus is found in all healthy, normal cells. Iodine, the lack of which, or overabundance of which, leads into what we call giganticism, or even though it's not the master gland, it affects almost every gland from the throat down and a few from the throat up again. The growth and maintenance of the body through the growth and maintenance of the thyroid gland is a must. And, interesting enough, the thyroid gland tends to swell during menstruation. There's a reason for that. Science has also gone so far as to prove that the birth of congenital idiots increases as the iodine supply decreases, and a type of sea iodine, like that from dulse and kelp and these kind of sea plants and algae and lichen family, decrease. In this case, we've all been blessed because now when it rains, it pours. We all can go out and buy iodized salt. But understand, in many cases, iodized salt is from a land-based consumption, and land plants are not as rich in chlorophyll, and therefore their mineral value does not have as much energy in them as does a seed vegetative. Now, we accept this concept of menstruation as being a thing that is done for the health of a woman, is decreed by nature since one is born female, and that's all it has to do with it. Let me state that that is not exactly the case. There are women throughout the world, even now, who do not menstruate, never did menstruate, and in the sense of a tribe or nation, have the profundity and propensity in generally to not menstruate. Most Hindu women do not menstruate. One of the last ones that was very much acclaimed and about her no need for such was Indira Gandhi. Most ancient African women did not menstruate. Belchus of the ancient Greek and Sappho of the ancient Greek and the oracles of the Delphi, who were all Grecian women that were replaced in half by men, keep that in mind, prophets, if you would, people who could look into the future and guide Grecian society, did not menstruate. Hypatia being just one of them again, Corina being another. The Amazon women, the Teutonic women, the female Gallic women, and the West African Watitatas, the West African Bosimans, the Ndambis of the Congo, none of those women believed in menstruation, nor did their bodies mince or go through a menses. Why is it then that they become the exception? They also grow stronger, taller, have more psychic ability, and more ability to bring in new births successfully without a lot of drugs, and even in some cases, even herbals. They are stronger, and they do not menstruate. Obviously, again, if they brought in births, how is that possible since they did not undergo menstruation? We find that there has been a lot of misinterpretation from some so-called holy sacred books, and possibly a lot of purposeful, well, how can I put it, changings of what was taught at one time by the phylum and gender called men, heading up organizations such as churches and medical societies for certain purposes. Now, maybe that's a challenge that I should throw out. Maybe that's something that you won't accept, but let us continue to look into this whole idea again. Women have been told, and they have traced it back to biblical interpretation by many prophets, priests, ministers, and reverends, that it is unclean issue that was necessary and that women should be ostracized from a society or tribe during the menses, and it was a sign of her uncleanliness. We've also been told that it is the breakdown of the uterine walls, and endometriosis being when the uterine walls is very affected, but the breaking down of the egg before it is fertilized. Consequently, this is why the issue is necessary. I state none of those things may be true, but I can state anything. It's not enough that I state it. It's the best that we begin to look even more and more into this whole subject matter, if you would. With the advent of monogamy, and in many cases the ancients were a very poly system growth, the church needed people to hold on to. It wanted a whole family, because not only then did this church become stronger in number, but also the tithing and the support was probably more ingrained. They also proffered this idea that a woman should be separated from the tribe or nation during this time, and that this was something to be frowned upon and was something that showed that the woman was therefore less than man. I state it is not a cleansing process at all, and that only is it partially the deterioration of the female egg unfertilized. Not only do women undergo the menses, but there is a subject, and I hope again that you're adult enough to let me deal with these tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun here tonight, and you'll be able to to discuss with me later on all that you would like. There is something called on the streets, again, the whites, scientifically called leucorrhea. Leucorrhea, or the whites, is a catarrhal condition of the womb and an inflammation of the uterine lining, much as endometriosis starts there too. And I state it's one of the reasons that causes menstruation. During this phase, leucorrhea, not menstruation, women suffer sometimes for 2 to 3 weeks prior to the start of the menses, which will continue sometimes for 2 weeks, and usually at the least 3 days. This means that the female is subject to a constant loss of very interesting blood plasma and fluids. Let me explain to some of you who think that it is smart to laugh at leucorrhea and feel that it is not something that is detrimental. Let me tell you what's in some of the leucorrhic fluid prior to the menses or after the menses. The fluids lost in leucorrhea are composed of important vital substances such as lipoids, alkali lactates, natural sodium, potassium, sodium carbonate, calcium, and brain and nerve foods, highly rich in lecithin and phosphatidylcholines. The mucus corpuscles, again, present in leucorrhea, are in reality not mucus corpuscles at all. They are what we call hemoglobin capable, simply meaning they are on their way to becoming red blood corpuscles capable of carrying oxygen, which, if you've been to any of these two lectures at all, I tell you, you don't get enough oxygen ever. It's almost impossible on this planet to get enough oxygen faced with the stress and hydrocarbons and radiation that we are. So all of these are potentially human blood cells, red hemoglobin capable, oxygenating, that is being lost before they can even be formed. And then comes the menses themselves. Any wonder that anyone, and since this is now the bane of the female, wouldn't be irritable, in fact dizzy, possibly anemic, and grow old and show the signs of old with gray hairs, wrinkled skin, and so even faster if you're losing this 4 to 5 weeks out of a 30 to 31 day period. And some women honestly do go through that. I hope you don't know any of them, and I hope you're not one, because they are a heck to be around if that's the case. And what can you expect? The person is actually losing hemoglobin on a regular basis, and before the cells can even be made, they're losing it. I state, this is not a natural condition, and it is not my big ego that states this. I have done research on those who have done the research, and in the little bit of research that I have done, I have to agree with what these august doctors and medicine people have reached the term to understand. In addition, it is proposed that if a female could stop these things, both the chorea and the menses, for no more than at least 24 hours, and that after that is much too much, that a female could have the capability of producing and bearing a child through term without a male being around. There is in history, if you do the research again, a theory called the Ovist theory. It's spelled O-V-I-S-T. It's pronounced A-H-V-I-S-T. The Ovist theory, I state, was proven by a professor, Jacques Loeb, of Stanford University back in the 50s, 1953 through 5. The Ovist theory states that the embryo develops from the egg alone and does not require spermatozoan in order to begin the promulgation of mitosis. In other words, a woman can impregnate herself and bring to term without a male being around, producing the male spermatozoan. The prevailing medical theory now is called epigenesis, and therefore I state through these other researchers that epigenesis is not proven necessary, and yet it is what everybody now in this heterogeneous makeup in the United States pretty much believes in. Also, however, this begins to propose some other proponents, which even if you might accept those, may not accept the latter one. It means that the female, if we're going to go by RNA DNA factor, was probably formed before the male. You cannot get a man from a man. You cannot get a woman from a man. But you can get a man from a woman, and you can get a woman from a woman. This is what I propose the old church heads had to change, had to delete from the books that talked about it, and had to delete from the book that you refer to as the Bible. For you see, males cannot reproduce themselves, and without females, the species phylum of man on earth as we understand him would not be in existence. And there was a time when that species was threatened. Okay. Now we get to the light stuff, or should I say, the heavier contention. Dr. Edward Bischoff, an MD, started what is called the modern acceptance of the theory of epigenesis. That was started in 1864, for those of you taking notes. I'm sorry, 1854, for those of you taking notes. That means that the zygote and uterine development by union of sperm and egg is what Bishop's theory was. His theory has been accepted. It is only a theory. For centuries, people had believed in, and some people still do believe in, what is called parthenogenesis. Parthenogenesis. And the ancient Parthenon in Greece was a product of a culture that believed in parthenogenesis, having been given to them by some ancients called Akkadians and Natufians, who believed in the parthenogenic receptor of the human egg. And that female was only one of the regenerators of that, and that when man fell, then the thought of epigenesis even occurred. Before that time, it was understood that complete cyclic birth for a God-man had to be parthenogenic. That was their belief. In the year 1955, four very prominent British doctors of medicine Dr. Stanley Belfour Lynn, Dr. Bernard Camber, Dr. David Wine Williams, and Dr. A.E. Moron all studied some 10 cases of virgin births and agreed that in some strange way, indeed, parthenogenesis had to have happened. The most famous study case was that of Emma Marie Jones. She was a German woman who became impregnated during the Blitzkrieg time in 1944 at Hitler's Germany. This happened at the height of the war, and this woman was encased, entombed, if you would, in a castle. Fortunately, there was a stream underground, and there were lots of canned provisions for over 15 months. She was found to have been in her seventh month of pregnancy when rescued. That has never been explained by the so-called medical sciences of this day, but was a common occurrence, especially under the stress of entombment in many ancient times. We'll look into that later too. If the Avis theory is to be even propagated and definitely accepted, then we must begin to see what kind of conceptuality brought this into being. How can we begin to say that this may have been the way? And what does this mean that the species of human on Earth actually is? We see in studying classical history and into looking into what the ancients have said that a lot of different practices go on and a lot of different worships are coming about or are beginning to be dropped. The question has always been, and you've heard it posed before, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And I think the old axiom was, which came first, the chicken or the egg on the chick, or the chicken on the egg? I ask you for a vote. I want you to raise your hand if you believe, when I ask it, that the chicken came first, and then I want you to raise your hand if you believe that the egg came first, but I don't want you to raise both hands, nor do I want you to vote twice. Okay? If you believe that the first creature was the chicken and not the egg, raise your hand. Okay, roughly around 20 people. Please lower your hands. If you believe it was the egg, please raise your hand. Which way is it? Okay. About 31 people. How many didn't vote because you don't know which you don't want to be made a fool of, so you're just going to come in? There you go, young troop. Uh-huh. All right. That figures. All right. Fence sitters, placators, politicians. All right. Well, this obviously has to be the chicken. I mean, does it? You know, what kind of doubt could there be that it's not the chicken? Especially since in 1975 at Stanford University, they connected a vibrational detective sensor to an unfertilized egg and got a rhythmic pulsating beat just like that of a human heart. That experiment has been repeated knowingly 230 times with the same results on an unfertilized egg. What is an unfertilized egg? Anyone real intelligent here, right quick? Yes. No rooster around. No rooster was there. Well, then what does that do about the chicken and the rooster? But then we said a chicken and an egg, huh? Not a hen and an egg, not a rooster and an egg, but a chicken and an egg. This would mean that possibly there was some kind of a life pulse in an egg generated by the female that did not receive fertilization. A life pulse. Obviously, then the thing would be, are there any other species in nature, plant, animal, otherwise, that could begin to substantiate that or show possibly the same kind of proclivity. How many have ever seen an acorn or cut an acorn in half? Just raise your hands briefly. Interesting enough, if you look at that acorn, there's an imprint right there where the seed should be. And in many cases, it looks like a full-grown oak tree. Or there's actually a formation before they begin to genetically mutate some of your acorns. When it grew naturally, what looks like a big oak tree would show where that little seed might grow and what it might grow into. Also, the silk moth, little lowly silk moth, reproduces itself without a mate. And in fact, if the moth mates, it cannot produce silk, and it dies soon after mating. A lowly aphid, some call it an aphid, I call it an aphid, little old lowly bug, if you would, reproduces without a mate, and yet the phylum of man is supposed to be able to subjugate and conjugate with just about anything on earth, can't do such. The Egyptian, of course, a very non-essential, backward, non-pyramid building society, had a very interesting thing. They worshiped almost what is behind me on the wall as scarab, which was referred to as the scarab beetle. Scarab is a very interesting creature. Has a 7-year cycle, and at that time, if it does not mate, it reproduces. If it does not mate, it reproduces. Up till that time, it's capable of casting off its skin, borning itself anew, and if it does mate, there is new reproduction, and that one dies, and the other one may carry a seed, which then has to be fertilized by another beetle. But if that chain doesn't start, the beetle does not need a mate for reproduction. Now, that sacred beetle, the good luck charm of the scarabus, obviously now may grow in its meaning as to what they were trying to say to us and why they characterize a little insect as being strong and mighty. I give you food for thought. If, and I say this very much iffy, if the human species is the highest life form on the planet Earth, then isn't it strange that seeds, moths, aphids can do what humans cannot do if you believe in epigenesis only? I state since nature always shows by sign, and nature has nothing to hide from man, because man to nature is as a beetle to a planet, then maybe we should look at what nature has said and is saying. All of that simply leads up to a final, or maybe a commencement, idea of what and who we are as humans. And I state that the story that they didn't tell you, that is now beginning to come out in various books under the New Age concept, that is now beginning to surface in research centers and medical facilities throughout the earth, and they still will not share it in general with the public, with the laity either, was that this is a very old planet, and that when life forms even begin to resemble in any way what we now think life forms on Earth should, that they were hermaphrodites or dual-seeded, that they were androgynous or androgens, having male and females on the same plant stem, and that's an interesting word too, as you shall see, and that at one time there were even etherians or evanescent. In other words, there was no solid form human on Earth, yet there was intelligent life in a form. Here's the way that story goes, and I move it carefully and slowly, and I will state you now, in the next 10 minutes, it's going to get very rough, and if some of you feel that you cannot take this kind of digging, go back and buy some products from the back or from the table and close your ears. But if I just made you very hungry for what may be happening, then let me finish before you reach a conclusion. Let me state, and I'll try to deal with it as scientifically as possible, it's going to get to be very interesting. Woman was the first, that is, the first female sex creation that endured the cessation of the hermaphroditic state. In other words, it was that phylum, called now female, that endured again the dual-sexed seed, having two sexes in one. This original person, or this original species of human, dwelt in the heavens of earth, or what is called the etheric vibrations, a much faster vibration than that of the physical vibration. And as the atoms of the planet condensed, so did the atoms of this species condense in the lower heavens of earth. This condensation led to a lower and lower vibrational rate within the atomic structure of both the planet and the species that had lived in the heavenly essence of that planet, until both became fairly solid. Then the hermaphroditic tendencies, through what is called a coalescence of the chakra centers, changed to an androgenic conception. It's interesting also that the word androgynous means having male and female parts on the same plant cluster, but androgen has been named by men as being any substance that induces or strengthens masculine characteristics, such as a male sex hormone. How far have we come? Number two, when this advanced species during ancient earth times mated with animals of earth's origin, their coitus resulted in a new offspring, animal man. And the animal portion of their union followed the animal menses, which are governed by the moon, and at that time the earth took on a moon. They were then called human, or animal men, lower vibratory creatures of the fallen heavens. Three, when this advanced species during ancient earth times mated with animals on earth, their coitus resulted in another fallen energy unit. And that was even fallen lower than the original humans, who at least needed the moon cycle to propagate. High alkaline diets, enzymes, fresh juices, oxygen, and chlorophyll containing foods, along with deep breathing and exercise, shortens the menses. Most female athletes, circus performers, long distance runners, tennis players, tend to slow their menses to no more than 1.5 days. Most vegetative, animal eating, white sugar containing females have their menses extended to a 5 to 7 day mens cycle. Many normal healthy females don't even start menstruating at 19 or 20 years old, and then usually worried parents, ignorant doctors, or money hungry doctors bring their menstrual cycles on with intensive efforts. And I won't be so low as to tell you some of the practices to induce menses, but maybe some of you males or females may have heard of them. And they can become extremely violent and volatile. All original zygotes are females when formed. They later change, and as our planet has lowered in its vibration, now that is at least 98% still true. After 6 to 8 weeks, the male fetus starts to secrete testosterone, otherwise it would have remained a female. Now please, we're going to start getting rough. Listen intently and take it accordingly. There is no truth until you decide what truth is. Sometimes a small quantity of testosterone is secreted, just enough to make testes form on the developing embryo, but not enough to utilize proper brain chemistry and pituitary balance, and indigenous homosexuality can be produced. I don't need to repeat that because you heard it, didn't you? How many want to hear just one more time? I thought that. Boy, I'm getting psychic. Sometimes a small quantity of testosterone is secreted, just enough to make testes form on the developing embryo, but not enough to utilize proper brain chemistry and pituitary gland balance, and indigenous homosexuality can be produced. Birthmarks are the mental impregnations and decreased ability of woman to still mark and control the vibratory rates of her cells. Dermoid cysts are the undeveloped cells starting the first trimester of fetal development, and microscopic examination will verify this fact. The hair, teeth, and nails are there. Many cases, this budding tendency can go on each side of the dermoid casing and may become even other type of cysts, especially when improper chemical balance is maintained due to drugs. The word conception means to conceive mentally. Man descended from woman, and circumcision is the artificial means to finalize this separation. The male testes is a woman's descended ovum, now encased within the scrotum. You know what's coming next. The male penis is an elongated clitoris. The female fallopian tube, made by Fallopian in 1523, is the male vas deferens glands, or urethra duct, which is really an amalgamation of the fallopian tubes. The male prostate, and this is one of the reasons why prostate trouble is on the increase, is an atrophied womb, and every man has the mammary glands of the female and can produce milk if he is normal. The bulbo urethra glands of the male are the equal of the larger so-called vestibular glands of woman, and interesting enough, the female thyroid gland with its three lobe allows enough iodine storage to keep that bulbo urethra gland functioning when man begins to dehydrate. What you heard is different. What you heard may already be agreed on by some, heard of by many, and now is being considered by you in the audience. I state this is just the start of what has been the fall of man on earth and the propagation of a new kind of species. All in all, and since we have a man lecture to follow and a children lecture to follow it, I give you the reasons again for the difference possibility in sex, but the idea that it is possible to reproduce on earth without the union of sperm and egg. Now, again, before I turn this portion only, and please don't ask me about man and children, we have whole two new lectures coming up about them, I want to give you some research papers and items for those of you who want to either correlate that or to do it on your own. One is called the redundant male. It's a book by Dr. Jeremy Sherfass, C-H-E-R-F-A-S, and Dr. John Gribbin, G-R-I-B-B-I-N. Two books by Professor Hilton Hotema, H-O-T-E-M-A. One, The Physiological Enigma of Woman. The other, The Great Red Dragon, both by Professor Hilton Hotema, H-O-T-E-M-A. The Sky People, by Professor, no, non-professor, Brinsley Lepoire Trench, B-R-I-N-S-L-E-Y, L-E-P-O-E-R, and then trench like a digging trench or a trench coat. The Star People, Brad and Francis Steiger. The Star People, Brad and Francis Steiger. And Man the Unknown by Alexis Carroll. Man the Unknown by Alexis Carroll. It's open for questions, statements, and comments on woman only. What a wonderful subject. Okay. Oh, let me ask this again. Can they come to the mic again? So this can be recorded, if you would pose a question, could you please approach the mic so it go on tape and won't be inaudible? If you don't wish that, then you may hold it for later on. Pardon me? Repeat the question that was stopping from coming up. Sometimes I won't be able to hear the question. That'll be the problem there. If you want to double it up again, then fine. Okay, I'd rather approach the mic if you don't mind. And if you have questions, therefore, on just the woman lecture, you might want to kind of just form a little line there. And if you don't, then we can move on to the man lecture. We do. Careful again. You can walk over there. Sorry. Walk in front of his camera. He doesn't mind. Okay. why has this nomenclature changed? What is it that has made the word boy now mean girl, the word girl now mean boy? Or was it, like possibly I alleged at the end of the female woman lecture? The word patriarch means the father or head male of a family or tribe. And in the Christian Bible, of course, it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, examples of patriarchal or patriarchacy. We presently live in, and for some time have lived under, a patriarchal society or male-ruled society here in the United States, male Caucasoid dominant. The Bible says that Adam was the first man, and that the Lord God did create him, and that he placed him in a seemingly tropical paradise because he might become lonely, and made for him other animals, and finally a helpmeet, which was womb man. Because of this emphasis placed on man by the Lord God, religions and nations and political societies have accepted this planet-venerated man, and the church specifically says again that he is divine and the rightful ruler of all things, and that they were made for him and under him to control. Now, some things have happened in our society which threaten the male where he lives. Instead of a male man, we now have a male person. And I know you say, but it's spelled M-A-I-L. Well, at one time that M-A-I-L really stood for M-A-L-E because there were very few letter carriers that were female. That's changed in the last 40 years. There, instead of a chairman of the board, there's now a chairperson. A congressman is a representative. Mankind is now human being. And a policeman is an officer of the law, and you understand all the things that have really come into being over the last 15 years. Believe it or not, this has changed over the last 15 years. This is not an old subjugated thing. We were very patriarchal here, not only on earth, but especially in this country for a long time. We have homosexuality rearing its sexual head, and we now have AIDS threatening homosexuality. We have all kinds of divisions of mind as to who and what is right and what is man. And I say, because of all of this, once you begin to question your thought and your concept, you begin to change that presence that is around you. Now, whether it was like the chicken and egg, that the thought had to be changed in the air and consciousness that we exist in, or whether or not as we change the air and the consciousness around us, is up to you to choose. But man has begun to change. And the word man, as understood, is definitely changing. Everything that I stated in the woman lecture, to save some time, pretty much holds true in the man lecture, especially as it is associated with woman and the woman lecture again. One thing with the ravages of old age, with ulcers, diabetes, and heart attacks, and so on and so forth, it is becoming hard for either sex to exist well, and man on earth feels himself somewhat now threatened. I state, since it was brought out before, and I was going to skirt this, but I won't. I'll tell this now, especially since the question of biblical theology was mentioned. I will look at this and interpret another way. Some of you who are Hebrew Israelites already agree to it. Some of you Islamic agree to part of it. And I'll run through this briefly, and then we'll see if we need to go over it again. If we state that in the first chapter of Genesis, that in the 26th verse it says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over, and then et cetera, et cetera. And that in Genesis 26 verse, it then says also, so God created man in his own image, In the image of God created he him, male and female. We have here then a God creating a male and female at the same time and calling them mutually man. Later, a Lord God, and the two terms are used individually, creating another man and calling him Adam. And this is where the trouble really starts, what the modern theologists and preferably the theosophists are calling the second creation, or Adam 2, or colloquial, again, Adam 1's, 2's offspring. We have to then look at one basic thing, the Hebrew word for Adam, which means red clay. That Adamic man was physically formed from earth-found ingredients, and at that time there was a lot of clay structure everywhere on earth. The Hebrew word Yahweh was interpreted as Lord God, and from the tetragrammaton YVHV or Yahweh, the Hebrew word Yehovah, past, present, and future, that's what the phrase means, was interpreted as God. That the Bible is based in generally on Hebrew scholars and scribes' interpretation of Oriental philosophy for a chosen people which were for to come. These scribes were called Masors or Masoretes, and they wrote what is called the Masoretic text. Therefore, we now have a universally created, self-contained, parthenogenic, higher consciousness God created man, partially absorbed and identified on a single planet, expressly Lord-made lesser entity whose ability to reproduce itself as a god was lost, was then polarized, making the divine principle separate in two distinct bodies called male and female. This new and lesser creature was called by the ancient ones human, under the god Hubris, or animal self, animal god, which was depicted by the Sphinx. Since they now have found Sphinxes throughout the earth, and Sphinx on the moon and Sphinx on Mars, all with the hue quality, animal quality, and since some look Negroid and only a few look Caucasoid, we have a challenge of interpretation and possibly a need for great research. I quote that in Genesis 1st and 2nd chapters, and it came to pass, which means after some time it passed, when man began to multiply on the face of earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took of them wives of all of which they chose, and there was born to them mighty men, and there were giants in the earth. Now, if any kind of logic can be applied to that reference, that biblical reference, it means a primordial race of people born of God, these sons of God, had no daughters or distinctly separate females amongst them, took to themselves those completely polarized units called females that were on earth, and eventually lost the female quality within themselves, and they were no longer hermaphrodites. They produced at first all females, and later on some males who were incomplete were produced and had to fight hard to continue to propagate their kind through operative circumcision as their prostrate tried to become a womb, and again they had a sheath over the penis, much as the clitoris had, and it had to be cut back in order to let this extended species exist as a self-contained person. The male reproductive organs called phallus or penis, prostate and testes, scrotum and orchic, and there is your key as a male, orchic, are similar in many cases to what is found in the female. The female fallopian tubes, again, resemble the male vas deferens glands. the male prostate, not prostrate. Prostrate is to prostrate oneself in front of, on the ground, or at a lower angle. Prostrate means to stand in front of alone. There also was a key which they hid from you. Every man has rudimentary mammary glands of a female and can produce milk. And the bulbar urethral glands of the male are equal to what is called the larger vestibular glands in woman. The same thing that I stated just backwards as when we gave the woman lecture. The elongated clitoris, when stimulated and or genetically mutated, becomes the penis. And the testes found within the scrotum is nothing more than a descended ovum. I repeat again the keys here. Prostate means to stand in front of. Prostrate means to lie flat with your face downward. The prostate gland stands in front of the male urethra and in front of the bladder and ahead of the orchic gland. The reason why a man has prostate trouble can be seen when you understand that the atrophied womb is not complete, and the orchic gland, through its radiations, causes live sperm to be produced only within that sac and makes a man separate from a womb man. Understand this collective title, man, meant a interactive species or hermaphrodites that later on in the fall of man was called Adam II, separate species with separate sexual reproductive organs. One following the menses of the animals of earth. But if man was a God-man, there are planets without moons and consequently could not have mensing animals. Animals follow the cycle of a orbiting satellite. Man follows wherever the planet leads and is free to go to the many classrooms in the heavens. You didn't understand what I said, did you? How many did? That's beautiful. How many partially did, but are still thinking about it? How many didn't understand a thing I said at all? Plus, you don't want to expand your consciousness. Thank you for not raising your hand. Most men who are sons of God have a hole in the roof of their mouth just beyond the palate and up from the epididymis glands that leads to the nasal eye duct. I repeat that simply, and women, don't even waste time. If you are a real womb man, you won't have that hole there. The man will have it. If you take your tongues, men, put them near the roof of your mouth, near the teeth, and move backwards, and it tickles, you'll see again ridges, little furrows, and then a mound. On the reverse or obverse side, going back toward the end of the throat, near the larynx, and again, the palate. Up in the top, there's a lot of little soft tissue, and then you see a big mound and a little hole there or an entrance to that cave. That hole is either closed or open, an indention or big, depending on what kind of man you are. Now, let's take a whole minute while we do some homework in our mouths. Men only, please. If you find it, or if you already know of it, simply raise your hand. Okay? How many can't find it there at all? Only one man. I have to talk to you. Please? Okay. Just don't know where to look. There is, again, a little soft here. You have to almost, now don't start swallowing, and I don't want anybody going into epileptic seizures here now. If you have a tendency, don't do it. If you take your tongue, put it in the back of the mouth, and bring it forward, you'll see from like a little pithy area, a hard, rigid adder, and right in the middle of that is like a little mound, and right at the base of that, the base, of course, is now transposed, it's upward. There's a little indentation. Then you slide forward, it's like you're going down a hill, you come forward to the teeth. Okay, how many men now can again feel that area? Let me just see your hands. All right. Now, that little opening on the reverse side of that little mound or hill is what a lot of transposition and literature has tried to hide from you. It separates the two kinds of man now on earth, and definitely separates human from man. It is your ability to go through that channel up directly to the pituitary pineal gland, and once a month, as in women who has menses, you have an issue of air or fluid that comes down there if you're in any way balanced. Most men, not being told about it, don't do anything about it or don't even realize what it can do or why it's happening. After a while, without proper nurturing, it becomes like an airflow, and you may have noticed sometimes even once or twice a week, especially when you're more rested and not under the stress of a J-O-B or a job or a business, then you will see a little air coming down there. Just in passing, I like to kind of query my audience as you query me. How many men have ever felt that little air rushing down or heard that bubbling and wondered where the heck it came from and knew it was coming inside their mouth but didn't know where? Let me just see. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. That separates the fallen man from the original man and human, the animal portion of which, from man who was non-solar. Solar plexus grounded man, oh boo. It's just 10 minutes? Okay, yeah. About 10 minutes? About 10 minutes? Now? Can I conclude in 1 minute? You can reverse this and take it back. 1 minute. All right, you can take it back up again. Okay, we want this on tape, so as a consequence, I'm going to have to conclude here now. Don't go away just yet. How many minutes will we have afterwards to fix the film? How many minutes will we have afterwards to fix the film? Huh? How many minutes will we have after I conclude this part before we can take up again while you fix the film? Two minutes? That's all that's necessary? Okay. Why don't you just rewind it, stop it where you want it, and then we can go from there, okay? When we left off, and you might want to just hold the tape for a second or two as we're trying to recap what was done before that time, was the idea that man himself may be incomplete as to understanding who he is, and that the separation or term of man versus human may be different. And I state also that man, mankind, and human may also be different, but showing you again that the collective noun, in this case man, may be a dualistic, in other words, including man and woman, and that there is references in biblical and also in scientific research that there was more than one kind of man, if you would. I had also stated again about the various glands that man had and how they somewhat emulate that are found in women, but then we separated to find that there was an organ or gland, if you would, that man has, the interest of which is at the top of the mouth, which woman has no part of, and that some men do not have on earth, and therefore that is one way of defining and understanding that there are two kinds of species here that we call man. One I would call human, the other I would call man. That's where we stopped, and that's where I'd like to now continue, if we will. Okay, again. In looking at man himself, we now see that this man with the divine cave, the legendary area by which man may go into himself and find out his infinite being, and open up many, many, many mansions of understanding as to who he is, once he gets past what is called the cross of Calvary, or the crucifixion of the two thieves. The two thieves become, in this case, the nubal, ida pingala, pneumogastic nerves at the base of the spine, leading up to the base of the neck at what is called the medulla stem. The thieves, therefore, robbers, become that energy that is channeled backward down to keep man more an animal than to let man ascend to his higher consciousness and powers to become that of the gods or God himself. When man was said to be a fallen angel, it simply meant that man had fallen from the understanding of total consciousness, which makes him a co-creator on the thought plane. Was given a planet, therefore, lower in thought where this could not be practiced until we learned what divine reality could bring, and therefore on this planet needed a mate which was himself in the higher heavens. Now that may become difficult to stretch minds to, but as I understand in Philadelphia, you're beginning to expand consciousness at a great rate, so I say for what it is, that is the conclusion that I would reach for man. To reach that conclusion for man, however, is to also understand that the prostate gland itself, which takes a rich vitamin A, vitamin E, vitamin B complex to sustain, works hand in hand with the pineal gland. The pineal gland is best exercised at night between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2:30 a.m. and especially on full moons. This gland deserves total darkness in order to regenerate itself and cast what they call the astral light. That light reflects down to the base of man's spine while he is in a sleep state, and if the food intake has been rich in the vitamin B complex and the plant kingdom chlorophyll, it will also photosynthetically inundate the orchid gland, which then radiates back upwards, and the man becomes one. He becomes a living, walking, psychic being. Eternal emissions, and some call them nocturnal emissions, are emissions usually when that seed of light granted by the orchid gland is not raised up the spine, not used in extrasensory perception, or in things which make man question his very basic animal behavior. To do so is to raise man's consciousness, control one's dreams, and control what is called the astral body. To not do so is to seat in the sperm ready for reproduction to bring in a kind of soul that may continue to do that when man won't. And this is where then man needed a mate. To live is to know temptations. The term live, spelled backwards, is evil. The word live, spelled backwards, is evil. The word evil transposed is live. To have lived is to be backward and become the devil. The word devil spelled backwards is lived. Therefore, if one lives in evil and in ignorance, one becomes a life of the devil. Man is his own worst devil and creates then energy cycles which draw to them from wherever in the heavens they dwell, negative beings which can be termed devils. Impotency is as much a mental state in man's mind as is physical impotency. What man sees and understands and terms pictures from, he then brings to him. What man refuses to accept or refuses to see, he sends away from him. Therefore, man is surrounded by his own vibrations, and the vibrations that he holds in mind are man. Prostrate, as I said before, means to stand in front of the gate to the higher heavens. Prostrate, as I said before, means the supplicant to anything that can give you physical confidence and physical bliss. The reason why the sons of God, or the so-called angels, the energies from other planets, came unto man on earth was because earth was really a divine garden, a wonderful co-mixture of everything from the planet Sirius, or from the Sirius constellation, whichever way you look at it, Canis Major, and those that were rejected from the planet Orion, or in a higher consciousness, the phylum constellation of Orion in the Pleiades. Those two oppositions have battled for the energies that has become man and woman on earth to see who will take over the Garden of Eden, the planet Earth herself, and once again use one of the most beautiful planets in the cosmos as a zoo, or deep, again, genetic phylum for mutation experimentation, and withdrawal. Because man has fallen here on earth, the progress of souls to the higher heavens has stopped feeding from the solar system, and man is bottlenecked with many energies and entities which we now call devils and lower energies. To stop that bottleneck and to let Earth change, as now Earth has come into the energy areas of another sun, is the problem and the challenge. The species who wants man not to progress will do everything in their power to keep man an animal and to bring out even more the animal side. The species who wants man to become as they are and even more, because he has sustained the trials of time. Time is different, supposedly, on our earth, wants man now to break the bonds of animalness and rise and ascend. The time for all of this that has been speculated on by many good books and bad authors is not in the distant future, but is upon us now. The weather changes and weather patterns that we see indicate this. The ozone layer peels back so that direct light can now come from the central sun, which will kill off all that is of lower vibrations and will rain down upon them the diseases of animals from which they partook. The conclusion of which can be only changed by the mind of man when he understands the power in his mind, and if he refuses to act, then human will be destroyed upon earth. Thus ends the man lecture. It is open for questions and comments. Not to forget, there is still a children lecture to follow. It's open for questions, comments, or so. Again, please use the mic so it can be recorded if there are any questions or comments.
Good evening, Dr. Baird.
Good evening.
I'd like to get a clear understanding of things that you've made when you started to make.
Okay, Morris, we're back. Let's go over here. Eric Cole, 813. Do you have a question or comment? 813.
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure, I can hear you.
Okay. Greetings, brothers. I came in late on the show, and I just wanted to know, what's the brother's name that's doing this lecture? This is so interesting.
This is Dr. Delbert Blair. You can type him in on YouTube. You can just type him in on Google and get over to his website and stuff and see all the stuff he's doing, all the other information. This is just a smidget of what he brings to the table.
Okay, and you said it's Dale, D-A-L-E, Blair?
No, D-E-L-B-E-R-T, B-L-A-I-R, Delbert Blair.
Thank you so much. And peace and love.
Peace and love, sister. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're rolling down. And if anybody got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand. And I will open up the lines and you can let us know what you think about this kind of stuff.
Most of us regard the Internal Revenue Service as a monster. But if you deal with them correctly and put them in a position where they are forced to deal with the circumstances by law, your chances of winning against them becomes 99.9, maybe 100%, if you do it right. Inside the United States, it operates on a continuous series of contracts under the terms of contract law. You never get angry, you don't raise your voice, you don't need to make any threats, but you simply supply them with information regarding the problem that they are having with you and put them in a position where they have to answer your questions by law. It's just that simple. We have a situation inside the United States where people are just outright fearful of the Internal Revenue Service, but you cannot succeed at anything if you carry any fear. So what I would recommend you to do, go to newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on TahakaArchives.org. Go over there. You'll see the Get Rid of the Internal Revenue Service package that's specially designed for your success in dealing with a private company who seems to think that they are above the rules and regulations and laws of the United States Supreme Court. There's a way to deal with them. www.newfreehelpgroup.com.
Okay. We're going to deal with something else. Now, the question is, who are you? Let's deal with that for a moment, and then we'll come right back and go into the final stage of Dr. Blair.
Again, we are dealing with the knowledge of yourself. Who are you? I told you who I was, so now we ask the question, who are you? If you remember the movie Malcolm X with Denzel Washington, in the beginning of the movie, in the opening scene, he was trying to be other than his own self.
Hey, fix to get that first complaint on, eh, homeboy?
Heartbreak every step of the way. You're gonna flip. That's right. Watch your lip there.
Looks white, don't it?
As you see, he was putting a perm in his hair, back then called a conch. And as a matter of fact, you know, he burnt himself or painted himself, as some of us do today. You know, we made with us our hair, or we burning ourselves for a tattoo. You know, back then, you know, nothing has really changed. So basically, this was something that he had did, trying to be other than his own self in the Malcolm X movie. Now, in the Malcolm X movie later on, he's kind of used to the perm. It's not burning him as much. And he meets a new brother in jail. In the jail, basically, the brother's asking him, he says, well, brother, who are you? He turns around to ask him, who are you?
Man, who are you? No, the question is, who are you?
Now, the people that we are, you know, we have a force or energy system within ourselves. Within ourselves, we have electricity. We may not think of it. When we walk across a rug and go turn off electric switch, we can feel it. So this electricity is generated within ourselves because we do have iron within ourselves. In a movie called The Matrix, you had a character played by Lawrence Fishburne called Morpheus. So Morpheus was explaining about the real world. And in the real world, he said we generate more body electricity than 120 volt battery and more BTUs than 25,000, than more body heat than 25,000 BTUs. In another movie, in explaining about electricity, we had Obi-Wan explaining to a young Luke about the Force and what the Force is. The Force, basically, in a Star Wars movie, is talking about God.
Side of the Force. The Force? Now, the Force is what gives the Jedi his power.
As a matter of fact, in religion or in the Bible, the oldest word for God in the Bible and otherwise, and even in ancient Egypt and on planet Earth, the oldest word for God is El. The oldest word for God in science is actually Elok Tron. So in Hebrew, we say Elah, Elohim, Elok, or Elah. When Jesus went across, he said Elaha, my God, my God. Elaha, Elaha, lana sabachthani. My God, why has thou forsaken me? Or really, my God, why am I in this forsaken place? That's what Thani actually means. You know, so Elok Tron. Tron means something that's moving. So Elok is the original force, and Tron is something that is in motion. So on a subatomic level in quantum physics or subatomic physics, they say that electricity or electron only is a negative force. But on a smaller level, it actually projects energy as well. Just as you would turn on your electric light, projects energy, projects light. As in a sound, it projects sound. You know, so therefore, when we say the electron only receives energy, that is not 100% correct. I believe it was in the 50s when they started exploring what they call quarks. They found that the electron also projected energy as well as received. They called it a neutrino or an anti-electron on a subatomic level. So it's interesting because when we think of male and female, the male is like the electron and the woman is like magnetism. And it shows in our physical bodies. The male body basically projects like a centrifugal force and the woman basically receives like centripetal force. We only have two forces in the universe. Centrifugal, which gives off energy, and centripetal, which receives. Just as a man plants his seed in a woman and then it grows the same as a farmer, you know, plants a seed in the ground. You know, you can't grow a baby without a seed being planted. You know, so the man's physical body projects and the woman's actually receives. So in the ancient cultures, you found what they call the science of the universe for the word Ra, who is the ancient god of ancient Egypt. Actually, in hieroglyphics, his name is actually Elah. It's an A as an arm, an L as a, what looks like lips, and then a circle with a dot in it, which is actually a helium ball. So it's actually A-L-H, Elah, but it's pronounced with an E. You know, so that's how we get the word electron, and it was also explained in Star Wars, and it was explained as the Force. Now, we are all born on this planet Earth, you know, to do something in life. We always ask, what is the most important day in your life? Most of us say our Mother's Day, which of course is correct, or our children, or our loved one. Of course, if you're a man, you know, your woman, or if you're, you know, vice versa, female, your man, you know, sometimes you may, you know, your father's birthday, but actually, the actual truth is your birthday, you. That is the most important day in your life, because that's the day you will never forget. Your children may forget you. You know, your parents may, you know, when you go to college, you'd be like, oh, it's my mother's birthday, my father. You never forget your mother's birthday, pardon me. But you may forget your father's or others, your brothers and sisters. You never forget it, but you have to be reminded. But on your birthday, you wake up on that day remembering, wow, this is my birthday. This is a special day. What am I here to do? So we always ask the question in the threefold, you know, what is it that you could do with your physical hands? A couple of years ago, we had Katrina. And Katrina basically challenged us. If everything was broken down, what could you do with your hands? What have you mentally been trained in? You know, the spiritual aspect is what you were born to do. And this is based on an agricultural system which goes back to ancient Egypt from our original Native American family, you know, which some scholars say actually we actually landed here on the planet Earth. In a book called Enoch, it talks about these angelic beings. In another book called The Voice of Our Ancestors by a Cherokee sister, says that some angelic beings, or also known as gods and goddesses in mythology, actually landed in America. You know, archaeologists bear witness that there is some landing strips in the Nazca Plains. When the massive flood came, then a lot of us moved from the Americas and then chose the best part of the planet Earth, which of course was Africa. We began to rebuild. And we rebuilt based on what? On the 12 constellations. One of us, all of us are born under one of those 12. And why 12? It's basically an agricultural system which is based on the beginning of the year, which starts for spring. You know, spring, you know, basically starts with the ram. The ram is protector of the family. You know, you have a ram, a sheep, she, and lamb, which is the child. You know, the ram represents in government the Department of Defense. When Obama gets in, he picked 12 executive branches. Then you move to the symbol of the bull, when all the cattle were being born. You know, that represented the Department of Treasury. Why? Because when you have a lot of cattle, you have a lot of wealth. They produce leather. They produce meat. They produce dairy. You know, in the modern day and time, Department of Treasury, that would be considered Wall Street, which they did get a bailout. You know, when you have a great business, it's called a cash market. You know, so on and so forth, you know, based on those different 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 disciples of Jesus, or the 12 constellations, you deal with the ram, you know, Department of Defense. You depend with the bull, you deal with the Department of Treasury. Then you deal with the Department of Education, Department of Housing, Department of State, which is our ambassador, which is the lion symbol. Then agriculture, which is deal with clothing and food. Then you deal with Department of Justice, which is the scales. Department of Commerce, you know, which is air, land, or sea. Originally, what they call the eagle or Scorpio originally was a bird, you know, so you, like UPS, you have air, land, and sea. Then you have the horse, which is the Department of Transportation. Then, of course, then you have the training, which is the goat boat, which is the dog on a boat. You're trained like the Marine Corps. Then, of course, you have the Department of Energy, which represent the age we're in today, you know, what they call the age of Aquarius. Then, of course, last but not least, we have the Department of Health, which is the two fish, or in the constellations, it actually looks like the Caduceus, which is two cobras around a pole, you know, which is the Department of Health symbol. And those are the 12. And, of course, in a movie called Battlestar Galactica, they talked about those 12 human beings. They didn't look strange, you know, that came from another constellation, you know, dealing with high technology, dealing with the pyramids. Modern-day society is just catching up to our ancient society, which is more advanced than today's society. So when we say, what, we came from another constellation or somewhere else, yes, of course, that's possible. It's called, in ancient Egypt, the boat of a billions of years, you know. But anyway, we deal with the here and the now, and of course, with locked in our DNA, you know, we have how we built those pyramids, which was high science. They didn't drag no stones, because that is impossible. And there are pyramids all over the planet Earth. You know, in China, Japan, Native America, you know, Mexico, so on and so forth. You know, so there, you know, we have dealing with the power of the knowledge of yourself. Who are you? Who am I? Who are we? We are the family of the universe and the planet Earth.
Those that are ascending that are female, short in the menses, do not have intuitiveness but have psychic ability, reproduce whatever they want when they want it, and again, do not suffer from leukorrhea. Those that are males discover the mount in Gemini, understand Golgotha, the land of the skull, where many have failed and were crucified, and finds themselves beginning to open up in the astral at night, remembering their dreams in color, having visions of prophecy, and have usually always had contacts. They know themselves.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hotep.
Hotep.
My question is about
Sirius B, if we go on the teachings of the Dogons and the Tuaregs and the Silures, are people who are generally of African ancestry, Negroid in nature and continents in this incarnation, and have continued the story of the amphibians that came from Lyra Sirius. They state that once they were taught that they were here for a purpose and was also a means of, shall we say, the higher energies or higher rulers in the Sirius constellation to stand against the interference again from the Pleiadians. Then they also knew that once this was done, they would have direct passage back. Sirius B is an artificial sun created by higher intelligences. Sirius A was of the creator. They showed their ability to create suns and therefore was sons of the sun and could go on to the many higher heavens in the cosmos. Pretty much that is my understanding.
Okay.
Oh, Shepard, sir.
I just have one question.
Is
the Caucasoid male mankind or the human or
the same? One form of Caucasoid male was mankind and human, because human created mankind. Those teachings were of the underworld, which the Egyptians and Nubians tried to teach, which even Teutonic people tried to teach, from those who separated themselves that came out of the caves of the Caucasoids and swept down upon man on earth. So there have been now three creations, none of which were supposed to be, all of which now have been given the curse of incarnation so that they could understand what it was like to interfere with creative wills. Consequently, we have now the ability to inhabit all three of those bodies, and many souls have had to do so. That's why now they hide back hypnosis and regression and try to tell you that again it is all subliminal. It is not. It is a record when the souls have had to enter into animal bodies, man bodies, and mankind. and so much so that they begin to create a thought form which does not even exist, that they could not progress, that they had to go through somebody, and therefore until that happened, they were landlocked or earthbound.
Okay, so they're created from that and not out of sense.
Pardon?
They're created from that type and can't sense.
No. We now know what soul inhabited one body at this time. Those souls that could come into a body that was not going to bind them or would be free to go forth in the end times came into certain bodies at this time. The male body is significant because it has the mound at the top. There are many so-called males on earth that do not have that.
The organ tribe mentioned that intelligence came from the form of an amphibious creature. I'd like to know if you can elaborate on that.
Only to the point that many of the amphibians came from both the system nearest the sun A in Osiris. I'm sorry, in Sirius, and Osiris was one of the obviously scientists that came from there, along with the sun B that was created for the humanoids made by the Sirians when they went too far. Thus, their mortal enemy of bad or negativity, which does not have creation of thought, but are masters of technology, the Pleiadians were allowed to gain entrance to Earth. They came with them, of course, an animal species, which we could get into and won't, just as there's another form that also accompanies the Sirians called Lyrians. But at least it shows that there, no matter what form or humanoid form people take, the soul still is what counts. Pretty much it just showed that good and bad do exist. Kentucky State University, who has successfully, since 1985, regenerated limbs. I'll give you the general philosophy, which is that an amputated limb has rings just like a tree. Each concentric ring organizes and controls one of the bodies of man. The gland and the hormones follow that pattern that each of those rings has intact. We call in those rings the DNA and the RNA molecule. The catch is to know which one of these rings to stimulate at the time or close to the time of amputation. If that can be stimulated, the organ will try to reproduce itself because on the etheric plane it still exists. But as the etheric or spirit plane dissolves and is then, when they put in these artificial prosthetic devices, per se, then we use the ability. The sensing is still there. That's why the person still feels they have the limb. The brain still wants to transmute material to it. But we have been severed from the correct hormonal secretions and a correct stimulus, which is magnetic, to do so. Electrical things will cause it to bud, but it will be deformed and different. Now they use neither. They use chemicals, cauterize it, which stops the regrowth of it, and add a prosthetic device. It has been proven many times that it can be done. The professor by the name is Smythe, and you could check his research. He's at Kentucky State University. He may or may not talk to you directly, but he'll probably reference you to his white papers, which he wrote upon it, which you can get at any library.
And the other question about
please. Not so slow. I mean, not so fast. Bend that little mic down to you again. You're thinking so very fast. I have to go into hyper gear to hear you. And okay.
I was talking about one who was called a live ace man, a boy, whatever.
A what kind?
Live ace boy, or man.
Live ace?
Lion.
Roar. Lion. thank you.
Live ace boy, I asked him about the acting business, and then he wanted to serve. And after I see him, and also the reason why the boy was dating the mother.
I have no idea where you would go to find the lion-faced boy. I do know that those stories about looking upon someone and coming out looking that way were used in the 17th century a lot by white women bearing black male children. I also understand that many black women bearing white children also said, because they were ashamed of what had happened, that this was the case. Worse than any of that are the gene splicings, DNA combatants that have created all kinds of creatures which do live on Earth. Some are in laboratories presently, and as we speak, at major universities throughout this planet, and I speak in truth, they have all kinds of captivities which they have created in laboratories that would turn your stomach. Worse than that, many of these captivities have souls, therefore they have knowledge of what they could have been or who they were. There's a lecture that I give called Gene Illogicals, which goes into great depth about that treatise. You're welcome. Understand, we're supposed to have one more lecture to follow. We can't stay here all night, so please, thank you, my brother.
Just one question. What is the detriment of our continuing to think in a world of opposites?
In a world of opposites?
Yes, really.
What is the deficit?
Detriment.
I think the detriment is pretty much what we see, which has pretty much reached fruition. If we always look for the extremes, we never look for the third force, which is the God force, which is a balance between the extremes. As long as we live in opposites and extremes, we must experience that which we think is real, the opposite of which, and therefore we never find a balance of which, and therefore we never progress. Already we have had too much good and bad, too much right and wrong, and not the middle path, which says right and wrong are only things to take you away from the return, which we are supposed to do, back to the mental molecule that created us.
Stuff that I've been hearing about life in, under the earth. Can you say that you might have had that people live in that is life under the earth, people living under the earth?
That is not of this lecture, but in the point that it is, I will reference it. There is said to be in Amenta and in Agartha and in Shambhala a life form that was put upon the earth that was green and from time to time is replaced on earth. And that life form was able to amalgamate successfully with mankind, producing a whole different kind of energies. The treatises have stated that there are both the smallest of my works in the earth as well as the largest. They are found again, fibia and tibial bones that are over 18 feet long, stating that at one time on earth there may have been at least a 60-foot giant. There are dwarfs and sarcophagi that have complete formation that are no more than 3 inches, found in little caskets even here in the state of Colorado. The ancient ones, and of course amongst many of the Yoruba, and I will not go too further than that, talk of the Tobolusuke, who are the little ones that can be summoned to do the bidding, who dwell only with man on earth. There's so many mysteries of earth, so each of these should be approached intelligently and on a different subject discussion. I think far too many times we go through so many of these things without understanding of any, therefore we get nowhere. The inner earth should be understood once we begin to understand what has happened on the earth. Yes, that there is an inner earth is a definite. Yes, that they have interfered and we have interfered with them is a definite. But now all things are under change. And that is a story, a lecture within itself, called the hollow earth, the earth itself, which I have on tape, and the twin earth. On the whole subject matter?
Generally speaking about the original orientation of man and woman and woman existence here on Earth and how other planets have had a direct connection with the existence of man.
It would be somewhat difficult for me to answer that one, please, first. It would be somewhat difficult to select one book that would teach this. This is probably one of the problems, for they separated the books at Ohm, the last library that was devastated. They renamed it, of course, what do they call this guy's name that came in there? Alexandrian Library. It was called the Library at Ohm at Pergamo, one of the last ones which had the books in text, even about the wars of the Lord and the books of Abijah and the book of Jihad and so on and so forth. To find it now, you'd have to belong to some secret society that thinks you're worthy, or be able to get into some of the research areas, or probably after this year, or maybe even this year, because it is a heck of a turning year, maybe at Health Research again. There are numerous books. One of which could be the Great Red Dragon, another of which could be the Book of Shambhala, most of the books of Professor Hilton Otima have references within it, but the books were not given freely to the public. And although that rule is changing, it is not just in one book, they're a compilation of books and journals and so on and so forth. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening.
Do you go into
the effects of drugs on man and his ascension or his ascending, whether any drugs that you have negative effects or positive effects, and how drugs are used in our society.
That is an entirely different lecture. That lecture is called Drugs and the Astral. I just tried to give it away at $9.95. I hope that somebody would buy it. To simply bypass that, and because it is connected with man, I would say that man has a gland that leads directly to the pineal pituitary that can be gained through the access to the roof of the mouth. Essences is what causes that gland to arise, not solid food substance. And dreaming and thinking causes it to activate and begin to dream and think for him on the higher heavens. Therefore, it connects him directly with the higher heavens, which is governed by thought. Drugs kill thought, and drugs control that gland for man, and man becomes a zombie and slave rather than a higher being and becomes less than the animals. That is why drugs are given, and that is what melanin is now fighting against as it's being reactivated through the ozone break and the higher energies now coming back to Earth.
All right, Moores, we come to the end of the broadcast, and I hope you all have gotten something out of this esoteric science, and a lot of this information can be verified. I would like to recommend that you go to YouTube and look up Credo Mutawa, the Reptilian Agenda, and as he explains about the origin of the planet and how man was both male and female in one body and a lot of other stuff. Also, there's a ton of other information. I'd like to invite you to go there and look up Dr. Sabi at the OSHA Institute and the waters that come from the ancient volcanoes. We're going to close out now, and we're going to come back later on in the week and see if we can bring some more information to you so that you can expand your consciousness And the only thing that we do is ask you to look at the facts and do an investigation on your own. I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and until next time, you all have a good evening, okay?
One thing, baby, and I just want to show one thing. baby. I just wanna ask you one thing. I just wanna ask you one thing. I just wanna ask you one thing. One thing.